The following is a lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on December 7th, 2009, at BMAS Engineering College in Agra, India.
Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, we are meant to understand the purpose of our existence scientifically. That means it is not on the basis of any sort of blind faith. Nowadays, religion has become some system of blind faith. Therefore, people are rejecting religion. They're taking to atheism more and more. So, we should not understand or try to understand the purpose of our existence blindly. We must understand scientifically the purpose of our existence. Actually, it is not difficult to understand. With a cool head and pure intelligence, we can analyze things. Just like your hand. What is the relationship between your hand and your body? You see? The hand serves the body's purpose, isn't it? When the body is hungry, the hand will take the food and put it in the mouth, isn't it? So, the part of the complete unit is meant to serve the complete whole unit. That is natural. Understand? This is scientific. Scientific analysis. The part of a thing is meant to serve the complete whole thing. So, are we not, each of us, a part of a complete whole which encompasses everything? Are you yourself the complete whole? No, you cannot claim to be the complete whole. Each one of us is part of a complete whole. There is one complete whole of which all of us are parts of that complete whole. So what is the healthy, natural position for us little parts of this complete whole? Just as the hand is meant to serve the complete whole body. So the individual little part is meant to serve the complete whole. So that is our actual purpose for existing. Just as the hand exists to serve the whole body, we exist to serve the complete whole of existence. So since we have a duty to serve that complete whole, we have to find out more about what is that complete whole so we can render proper service. It's like if you work for some company, You need to know what the company policies are so you can, you know, do satisfactory service for the company, isn't it? So, the better you can understand what is that complete whole, then the better you can render service to that complete whole. So this requires further scientific analysis to understand what is that, the nature of that complete whole. Well, one thing, we see that everything is coming out of that complete whole. Everything is part of it. It's the source of all that exists. It's the origin of everything. That we can see. So, the origin of us, persons, must have personality. You may say, why? Well, I'll give you an example. Let's say every day I bring you 1 kilo of gold every morning. 1 kilo of gold. That's a lot. How much does a gram go for? Is it $1,000 a gram? A kilogram is 1,000 grams. I mean, it's a huge wealth every day. Every day I bring you 1 kilo of pure gold. Here's your daily kilo. You become super wealthy very quickly. You see? Finally, one day you're saying, but Sankarshan Prabhu, where are you getting all of this gold? This is amazing. You give me 1 kilo of pure gold every day. Every morning you come to my house, you give me 1 kilo of pure gold. I'm becoming the wealthiest man in the whole world. Where? Next to you, I guess. But where are you getting all this gold from? Well, I have a gold mine. You say, oh, you have a gold mine? Really? Well, how much gold do you have in that gold mine? What if I tell you there is no gold in the gold mine? Will you believe me? Oh, you're lying. You must have unlimited gold in that gold mine, you see. So, that original source, that complete whole source of existence, if from it is being produced millions and billions of persons, can we rightfully argue that it does not have personality? What do you say, Sevananda Prabhu? Yes, we cannot. We cannot argue that the ultimate source of existence, that complete whole, is devoid of personality. That is an illogical argument. That complete whole source of existence must necessarily possess personality in order to manifest so many personalities from itself. Now, you're a person. If every day I saw you, I said, how is it doing today? Is it feeling good today? How is its mother and father doing today? Wouldn't you get tired of being called it after a while? You may tolerate it a little bit. I mean, what person wants to be called it? Like he's just a rock or so, you know, something. No person wants to be called it. So, since we've understood that that supreme source of all existence does indeed possess personality, how can we call it it? And we could, you know, philosophically we can, but you don't want to do it too much. Because if that supreme source of all existence, which we scientifically demonstrated does possess personality, how can we go on referring to it as it? We understand there's a person there. There's a supreme person who's the source of all existence. Then the next question is, well, why did he do this anyway? Why did he manifest this existence? And how did he do it? And why do I exist? You see? We can further analyze. that God or that supreme source of all existence is a person. And he has everything. There's nothing which he does not possess. He has everything. He has all power, all beauty, all renunciation, all knowledge, all wealth, and all fame. Anything, any opulent thing that you could think is a symptom of opulence, that must be possessed by that Supreme Person, because he's the source of all existence. He has everything. There's nothing that he's lacking. There's a great Vedic sage, his name is Parashara Muni. You may have heard Parashara Muni. He came up with a scientific test to determine who is God, who is the Supreme Person. He said this: if you can find that person who has such a great extent of power, he named six things: power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. If you can find someone who has these six qualities to an unlimited degree, which is greater than anybody else has, then you have found the Supreme Person. That Supreme Person is the source of all existence. Naturally, he's going to have more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth, more fame than anyone else. These six things: power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. These six opulences must be possessed in full by the Supreme Person. So to find out who that Supreme Person is in a scientific way, all we have to do is analyze all the great personalities. We simply have to analyze all the personalities and see who has it. Who has more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth, and more fame. Well, you know, Krishna makes a claim to being that person. He states in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Shantam Namrishati. He says that actually I am the topmost enjoyer and Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, I own everything. Actually, that is a natural thing. Whoever owns more, he has more facility for enjoyment. A rich man, everybody wants to be rich because then you have more facility for enjoyment, you see. The more you have money and power, the more you can enjoy. That's natural. So, since Krishna is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the owner of absolutely everything, and he's also our Parameshwara, the supreme controller, naturally he is the supreme enjoyer also. So who else can claim to be the enjoyer of everything? You see. Sometimes they criticize Krishna for enjoying other men's wives. You may have heard those criticisms sometimes. But actually that's a stupid criticism, because Krishna, every woman already belongs to Krishna. Your mother belongs to Krishna, your sisters, your daughters, your wives, whoever. All the women already belong to Krishna. It's the men who are the thieves, who think this is my wife. They are the ones who are stealing from Krishna, actually. Because every woman in all of existence is Krishna's property. She's his energy. He's Shakti. Krishna has emanated every woman from himself. They're all the Shakti of Krishna. You see? Of course, the men also belong to Krishna. Since we all come from Krishna, We are meant to serve Him, just like the hand I gave thee. We talked about the hand, you see, and the whole body. So each one of us is part and parcel of Lord Sri Krishna. So we are meant to serve Him. Now, when the hand is serving the body, it's a healthy hand, you see. But if your hand doesn't serve your body, what do? You go to the doctor. My hand is injured. My dear doctor, please cure my hand. Make it work again so it serves the body again, isn't it? So when you, the living entity, are not serving Krishna, you are in a diseased state of consciousness. And what do? When you're diseased, you go to a doctor. So who is the qualified doctor? That is Guru, the spiritual master. You have to go to a bona fide spiritual master, and he will cure you. You see, he will give you the medicine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. He will give you this medicine, and if you take this medicine according to the doctor's orders, then you'll be cured of your disease of not acting in harmony with the source of your existence. You may say, well, what's the proof? This sounds like blind faith. Well, wait a minute. That's not true. If your chemistry professor tells you H2O equals water, do you accuse him of trying to make you into a blind follower? No, you don't. Why? Because he takes you to the lab and lets you prove it to yourself that it is in fact a true thing, that H2O equals water. He will take you to the laboratory, and he'll give you the test tube and the hydrogen and the oxygen, and he'll show you exactly how to combine it. So you will get water in the test tube, and you'll know it's real. So the spiritual master, he doesn't ask you to blindly accept these things. He tells you exactly how to chant Hare Krishna in such a way that you will personally meet God face to face. You will personally see Krishna. He will reveal Himself to you. And then you know that Krishna is real. He's not just some old Hindu mythology. You see? You will know. Some make-believe character meant to attract tourists to come to Mathura. Now, Krishna is real. And by chanting His name with faith, under the order of Sri Guru, under the directions of Guru and Vaishnavas, there's three guides. We have Guru, we have Shastra, which is Prabhupada's books, and we have Sadhus, the ISKCON devotees, you see. We have three guides, Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra. The ISKCON devotees, they are the sadhus, the spiritual masters, our guide, we have Prabhupada's books, the Shastra. So if you will take these three things and perform this experiment on your own consciousness, you will experience Krishna consciousness. You will become a spiritually enlightened being. You will become awakened in transcendental knowledge. Raja vidya raja ghu yam vavittam idam uttamam rachakshavagamam dharmyam shushukam katamam yuyam. This knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. It's absolutely ecstatic. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Are you ready? If you are not... it's coming out tomorrow's thought for the day. You're getting it ahead of time. If you are not absolutely ecstatic at every second, you're doing something wrong. You're not absolutely ecstatic at every nanosecond, you're doing something wrong. Because a person who is properly fixed in Krishna consciousness, you see, he's completely ecstatic in all times, all places, and all circumstances. He's never morose or bewildered or confused or deluded, devastated. He's never like that. He's always situated beyond the modes of nature, relishing the sweetest happiness at every minute. Na prafrishyat priyam prapya, no vijat prapya cha priyam, sthirabhudira sangmido brahmavid brahmanistitaha. Such a person, he does not rejoice when he achieves something pleasant, nor does he lament when he obtains something unpleasant. He's unbewildered. He's fixed in his consciousness. He's already situated in transcendence. He derives unlimited happiness within his heart because he is always fixed in pure Krishna bhakti. So, this bona fide spiritual master will teach us. He will train us how to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. Whether I'm a brahmachari living in an ashram, or whether I'm a student in the university, whether I'm a married person, a career, a wife, and some kids, doesn't matter what your position is. Krishna bhakti is for everybody. Arjuna was a married man with a profession. He wasn't an ashram resident, or he was not a yogi in the Himalayas. He was a working man with a career, a military career, and he had wives and children. You see, whatever your position may be, doesn't matter in this world. If you will simply make Krishna the center of your existence, then you are guaranteed to not take birth again in this material existence, and to be absolutely ecstatic here in this material world, seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Seeing Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. Never becoming bewildered. Krishna says in chapter 6, for one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Chapter 6, text number 30. So if you will take advantage of this science of Krishna consciousness, you will achieve the supreme success. In this material world, everyone is struggling to be successful, but you know what? Nobody is successful here. Everybody is a failure in this world. Even the big, big so-called successful people, the politicians, the movie stars, the ultra-rich businessmen, the athletes, the movie stars, rock and roll stars. These people, they're all defeated by the insurmountable wheel of time which crushes everything in its path. They're all defeated by time. But that person who takes shelter of Krishna, who surrenders himself to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he conquers over this material nature. He's the supreme winner. So now it's up to you. Do you want to be a winner or a loser? You decide what you want. Do you want to win or do you want to lose? If you want to win, we will train you how to win. How to be the supreme winner, conquer over this material nature. How to utilize this material nature to enter into your eternal identity in the spiritual existence upon leaving this body. So it's up to you now, what you want. You're all educated boys. You have good brains. Now utilize these brains not only for understanding technology of matter, use them to also understand the technology of spirit. You say, why? Here's why. Because matter comes from spirit. Therefore, spirit is more important than matter. Matter is the inferior energy. Spirit is the superior energy. So, one who becomes connected to the spiritual energy, they naturally become masters over the material energy. They are called Goswami, one who masters over the material energy. He's no longer a slave of the material energy. He's mastered over it by taking shelter of Krishna. So don't be a slave of this material energy. Become a master of this material energy. We will train you how to do that. And in this way you'll become supremely successful. You'll never be a failure in your life. You'll be successful throughout your entire life. You'll always be successful. In every step you'll be successful. We'll train you how to do that. That is our Krishna consciousness movement. How many of you are chanting Japa Mala every day? Raise your hand. Practically everyone. That's wonderful. That's very good. How many of you are chanting 16 rounds every day? How many of you are chanting 8 rounds every day? How many of you are chanting 4 rounds every day? Ah, that's good. How about 1 round every day? Yeah, okay. All right, so now you have your guides here. You have young men who are guiding you in your Krishna consciousness. Kindly take their instructions very seriously and increase that chanting. Once you reach the point of 16 rounds and you're following our principles, then you can actually get diksha, which is a very important step. Just like when you want to get educated, you register in the university, isn't it? Formally register. That plugs you into a system, and by remaining plugged in, you come out with a degree, and then you become a qualified technologist, you see. So in the same way, initiation means you're plugging into a system which will bring you out as a qualified, enlightened, transcendental being at the end of the process. So now you're preparing, now you're in a preliminary stage, it's like pre-university stage, you see. We want you, under the guidance of these men here, we want you to qualify yourself for becoming initiated disciples of the bona fide spiritual master. And in this way, you see, you become qualified to become perfect, spiritually perfect. Now some tips are here, because you're busy studying, so here's the tip. Put Krishna first. Get up early in the morning and chant your japa before sunrise. Really go deep into meditation. Just like when you go to see a movie, you absorb yourself in the movie, isn't it? When someone goes to a movie, they absorb themselves in the movie. And then it's over you. It's almost like you forgot you were here in India. You're someone on South Sea Island. You get totally into the movie by sitting there for an hour and a half, you see. Your consciousness merges into that movie. You understand? So the same thing, your bead bag. You should merge your consciousness into that sound vibration. Not that you lose your identity, I'm not saying that, but you should be totally absorbed in that sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go deep, go become deeply absorbed in that sound vibration. So before sunrise, get up before the sunrise, and chant as many rounds as you can, really quality rounds, and then study like crazy the whole day. And then do a first class job as a student. Study your mundane subject matter and master it, you see, so you can become qualified here in your university studies. But remember, the whole foundation is the japa. If you will base your studies on the japa, make that the foundation of your day every day, good chanting every day, Krishna will give you a better brain. You'll be able to learn better even the mundane subject matter. Your mind will become clear. Your mind will become one-pointed and fixed. You'll think, well, let me do well in this university so I can serve Krishna better in the future. You'll dovetail everything into Krishna. Let me get a wife and have a family life that will be pleasing to Krishna. Your whole life will become dovetailed with Krishna. You see? Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that. A son of Kunti is an offering unto me. Yat karoshi yad ashnashi yad jahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi kondaya tat kadushva madarpanam. So if you will base your day on chanting Hare Krishna, if that is the first thing you do before the sunrise, as many rounds as possible, then you'll understand why you're studying. You're doing it to please Krishna. You'll understand that your purpose of your life is simply to please Krishna. And it'll become very easy. It won't be your life will no longer be a burden. It'll become a celebration of transcendental bliss. Seeing everything as the energy of Krishna, engaging everything in the service of Krishna. That will be your consciousness. Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Is there any parameter by which we can judge whether we are doing progress in spiritual healing? Is there any parameter by which we can check whether we are doing progress in devotional service or not?
How can you test your advancement?
Yes.
Bhakti parishanu varovarakti anyatra chaishatra kai kakala prapagnyaman nashriyatasnatashushpushti pushti shudabhayo nagasam. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the tip. Three things. Bhakti, devotion to Krishna is the first thing. Direct perception of the Lord. And the third item is detachment from material sense enjoyment. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo paraktir. By these three things you can test your advancement in Krishna consciousness. If you're being fed at dinner and you're eating to your full enjoyment, someone may come and offer you some more and you may accept to a certain extent. But then your belly is getting filled and you don't accept anymore. Now, does someone have to tell you your belly is filled? Or do you know your belly is filled up? Everyone knows when they're getting filled up. So, in the same way, Bhagavatam says, just as one experiences increasing love for Krishna, the ability to see Krishna within everything, and detachment from material sense enjoyment, just as one experiences satisfaction, eradication of hunger and nourishment, increasingly with each bite while engaged in the activity of eating. So the Bhagavatam compares Krishna consciousness to eating. Taking prasadam. And if you're actually taking prasadam, you're getting the satisfaction, the nourishment, and the eradication of hunger. In the same way, if you're actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, you will feel more and more love for Krishna. That means everything related with Krishna. That means the spiritual love for the spiritual master, love for the devotees, love for the holy name, love for prasadam, love for the holy dham, the navandam, love for the deities, love for the Bhagavad Gita, You will feel increasing, you'll feel love for these things. And you become more and more conscious of Krishna everywhere, how Krishna's, the hand of Krishna is acting in every circumstance. You become more and more conscious of that in everything. Therefore, you'll never be bewildered. You'll never feel alone. You will feel that Krishna is everywhere, helping you and guiding you from within your heart and from within the hearts of others also. You will see how Krishna is acting through other people as well, how he's acting through the spiritual master, how he's acting through the Vaishnavas, and even through non-devotees he's acting sometimes, and we can see. Even the dog teaches us a lesson, how to be faithful to the master. We see how Krishna is even acting through the dog to remind us how to be faithful to our spiritual master. And the third item is, as we become more and more loving in Krishna and perceiving Krishna everywhere, then naturally, who cares about material sense enjoyment? It's such an inferior taste, tucham, insignificant taste. If I give you a nice rasagula and I give you a piece of stool, would you like to eat the stool? No. Give me the rasagula, please. Rasagula I like very much, but stool, that's for the hog. I'm not hog. So, Krishna consciousness, that is rasagula, you see. And this material sense gratification is simply stool. Once you get a taste for Krishna bhakti, this material sense gratification will not attract your mind. You go, all those poor people out there, they're just like stool eaters. The whole material world, they're all like hogs eating stool. Is it? They're just stool eaters. Going to these Bollywood movies, and, you know, drinking liquor and going with the prostitutes, and turning the college girls into prostitute girlfriends. And, you know, it's just stool. That's just stool eating business. So in this way, When you see that you're losing an interest in material sense enjoyment and you're becoming more and more attracted to Krishna, then you know you're advancing. When it's not happening yet, well, you haven't advanced very far. If you're still drooling over the stool, thinking you want to eat stool, then you know you haven't advanced very far yet. You need to take shelter of advanced devotees who have gotten to higher taste and beg for their mercy and their blessings that you can also get the higher taste. I mean, who wants to remain a stool eater, you know? Pretty embarrassing position to be attracted to material sense enjoyment. That's for animals, it's not for human beings. You see, animals are meant to enjoy material sense gratification. Human beings are meant to renounce material sense gratification and become self-realized. That is human life. If you're still attracted to material sense gratification, Vedas say you're animal. You're dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. And you become an old man walking with cane, tripada pashu, three-legged animal. And when you're riding in the wheelchair, well, that's four-legged animal. Two wheels and two legs. That's a modern addition, the philosophical point. So any other questions? Yes.
What is self-realization?
Self-realization means there's the individual self and the supreme self. So a self-realized person, he realizes both selves perfectly. He realizes that my individual self is the eternal servant of Krishna, and the supreme self is Krishna. To be self-realized means to understand Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and I am his eternal servant. If you have understood this, you are self-realized. Have you understood this? That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and you're his... So you are an entry-level self-realized person. Now we'll take you all the way where you fully realize it. Even if you have a theoretical understanding of this and you say, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and I, his eternal servant. You're already self-realized. It may be entry level, but you're already self-realized. Now you make your self-realization perfect and full and complete by fully realizing Krishna, where you can actually see him face to face. By pure love. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daivarada yeshu valokayanti yang shama shunyaram achimya guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Now you anoint your eyes with the salve of love of God by regularly chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. You will purify your vision and you will go from the entry level to the perfectional level of self-realization. Does that answer your question? Who would like to be fully self-realized? Let's see a show of hands. Fully self-realized. Who would like that? Only a few? The others are not, don't want it? Maybe they didn't understand the question. They're all chanting. If you're not interested in self-realization, what are you doing here? That's where we're here. We're teaching you how to become self-realized. And you said you weren't even interested. No, they just didn't understand the question. It's okay. Obviously, they're interested in, all of them are interested in self-realization. Otherwise, they wouldn't be spending their valuable time sitting here in these programs. They're all interested, obviously. So we appreciate very much all of you are interested in this subject matter. Thank you very, very much for your interest. Any other questions? Okay, Krishna Chaitanya.
Srila Gurudev, sometimes there is some kind of fear that if I will give up sense gratification and will simply serve Krishna, then I will be unhappy. How to deal with it?
Yeah. Someone may think, but what if I can put on, completely surrender to Krishna and I'm unhappy? Is he right?
What will be if I give up all sense gratification and just serve Krishna and
I may be unhappy. Well, on a very high level, the devotee gives up his own desire for happiness. Even if Krishna, once you become spiritually perfect, you don't even care for your own happiness anymore. Actually, the self-realized person, fully self-realized person, he's willing to be miserable if he'll give pleasure to Krishna. He just thinks about Krishna's happiness, not his own happiness. But of course, on the beginning level, you have to think of getting your own happiness. But the secret of unlimited happiness and enjoying equally as the Supreme Person enjoys is to simply think of his enjoyment. You see? And just like the gopis, many of you have heard this story, Krishna had a headache. And he told his servant that to cure my headache, I need the dust in the feet of my devotees. Please find some of my devotees and ask them for the dust of their feet so I can put it on my head and cure my headache. So the messenger went out looking for some devotees who would give the foot dust for Krishna's headache. He went to some smarta Brahmin, you know, very much into the rituals, the Karma Kandaya Brahmanas, all the Vedic rituals, you know. And they asked for the dust and they said, are you crazy? We would go to hell. If the feet, the dust of our feet went on Bhagavan's head, we would go to hell. Forget it. Get lost. So the messenger, well, what to do? And they, I don't know if anybody's going to do this. He went down, he came to this side of Vrindavan. And he saw the gopi girls. He asked them, he said, can you give your foot dust to cure Krishna's headache? He said, yes, Krishna has a headache. Oh, Krishna has a headache. Oh. They were in great distress to hear that Krishna has a headache. So yes, immediately, take the dust. The messenger was amazed. He said, aren't you afraid of going to hell? He said, that's all right, we don't mind. Just let Krishna's headache be cured. So one who is actually Krishna conscious, He doesn't care for his unhappiness. He doesn't care if he goes to hell forever. It doesn't matter to him. He just wants Krishna to be happy. And because he is in that mood, he enjoys on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have the enjoyment of a mortal being in this world. He tastes the same pleasure as the Supreme Personality of Godhead tastes. It's like the servant in the palace of the king enjoys the same festivals that the king enjoyed. He's right there in the palace. He eats the same food the king eats. The king eats first, but he eats it second. The same royal banquets, the servants are eating it. The same festivals, he's attending the festivals. Same festivals the king attends, he's also attending the festival along with the king. So when you become the sold-out servant of Krishna, then you enjoy equally with Krishna. So, the thing is, don't worry so much about your own happiness. Just try to make Krishna happy, and then you will enjoy equally with Krishna. But I can guarantee you, if you're worried that by following this process you're not going to be happy at the end, I can assure you that the bliss that you will taste is the more you advance in Krishna consciousness is so sublime that it surpasses anything you could even conceive of in your wildest dreams. That I can assure you. So you can put your faith in my words that if you follow this process, you will achieve a happiness which is so sublime, even greater than demigods in heaven you will be enjoying. And if it doesn't work, I'll give you 1 crore of rupees. That's my guarantee. It's my 1 crore guarantee. Either you will taste a happiness greater than the demigods in heaven, or I will give you 1 crore of rupees. That's a promise to everybody in this room. But you have to follow this process strictly according to my directions for at least 6 months. And if you don't taste a happiness greater than the demigods in heaven, I'll give you 1 crore of rupees. Is that a deal? Either way, you're going to come out ahead. You're going to become super wealthy, or one way or the other, spiritually or materially. But I guarantee you, the spiritual wealth is much greater than 1 lousy crore of rupees. Any other questions? Yeah.
Sir, is there any difference between loving the Lord Krishna and chanting one mala daily?
Is there a difference between loving Lord Krishna and chanting one mala daily?
So, are you getting paid to chant one mala every day? Someone's paying you and giving you, you know, 20 rupees? Are you chanting it out of love?
Initially I have some problems in chanting, but after some days it will be
difficult. The question is that you are chanting out of love, or are you chanting to pay?
Are you chanting for money, or are you chanting for love?
From love.
Yeah. So actually your chanting is love. Now you just have to increase your love, that's all. Chant more than 1 round. Go to 4 rounds then. Will you agree to go to 4? I've come all the way from America to ask you to increase to 4 rounds. Will you do it? Yes? Okay.
He's agreed?
Okay, any other 1-rounders who want to jump to 4? Raise your hand. Oh, very good. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, very good. All 4 rounds. Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you. Hare, Hare Krishna. All right. All right. Get the camera. Everyone who's going to go from 1 to 4.
I will write them and send mail to you. These are their person. And after?
Yeah, they can send me an email also. Let's have them all. Have them come over here and we'll take a photograph of all of them. And then we're going to see all the 4-rounders who are willing to go to 8 and all the 8-rounders who are willing to go to 16. This is the first group. All right, get all the 4, all those can come right here and you take a picture. Come on, come on. All right. Everyone's going from 1 to 4. Okay.
1 to 4.
Jumping from 1 to 4. Okay. All right, very good. Okay, get the camera warmed up. Make a nice picture. Get a good picture. Take 2 or 3, so get a good picture.
Come in the front, short one.
Very good. This is wonderful. Okay, all right, that's good. All right, now how many people are willing, see, how many people are not chanting, these are excluded from this. How many people are not chanting 8 rounds yet who would like to jump to 8? Anybody in that category right now?
They want to put.
Who wants, who's chanting?
They want 6.
6?
They want to jump 4 to 6.
Anybody that's chanting, anybody who wants, is anybody else who wants to jump, make a commitment to jump tonight to a higher level? Raise your hand. Anybody else wants to commit to a higher, jumping to a higher level? Is that it? Anyone else?
They want
from 4 to 5.
They want to chant from 4. If they are chanting 4, they want.
Now here's somebody. What are you chanting now?
7.
7? What do you want to jump to?
8.
Huh?
We have certain plan. In every semester, they are increasing one mark. First semester, second semester, third semester. Then when they pass out, they will have 16 long.
Oh, you have a one. They go one round at a time. That's your program.
Basically, we have a semester system here. First semester, second semester.
How many semesters do you have?
8 semesters.
Oh, they got 2 rounds per semester.
Two rounds. So on Janmashtami or on Ramnami, they increase one more.
Oh, you already have a system. All right.
The speeches day, they increase one more. When they pass out, they are committed to 16.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good. So they can always go faster if they want to.
Today is a special day. They can jump.
Today is a special day. You can jump. If your teachers have authorized, it's a special day. You can jump. This is a special day for jumping ahead. This is called the fast track. Anybody who wants to do a fast-track commitment, like these men have done, you want to go from 7 to 8, okay, very good, take his picture. Anybody else wants to fast-track?
7 to 8.
7 till 8, okay. Anyone else wants to go make a fast-track commitment today?
I think that they want to have photo with you, Prabhupada.
No, those two can come and hear. This is your chance. Anybody who wants to fast track, you can be in this picture. All right. Any other fast trackers? Come on. Anybody else wants to do a fast track expansion?
So how many runs they are going fast track now? They are all 16.
Yeah.
Think about it. Anybody, all you have to do is increase one extra round. You can be in the picture. You got everybody in the picture? Everybody included? You're not missing. You can see. Look at it. Did you get everybody? This includes everyone? Okay. Yeah. All right, good. Oh, the 4-rounders can also come then. All this. This is 4-rounders only now. Okay.
We want to have these snaps so that we can track.
He says they want the snaps so they can keep a track.
Very good. That's very good.
Now this is from his camera. He can send you.
Okay, any other questions?
One question.
All right.
Human body is made for detachment or renounced to material sense enjoyment. But in this time, most of the students are attracted to watch movie. So how to detach from the movie?
Yes. Movies are great, aren't they? It's actually a powerful medium. But my advice is, why not upgrade your movie watching? Did you know you have a cinema inside your heart? We will teach you how to turn on a cinema in your, so you can watch movies 24 hours a day. Within your heart. You can see Krishna's pastime within your heart. We'll teach you how you can see in the cinema of your heart the leelas of Krishna going on. They're happening in the spiritual sky right now. So the cinema watching tendency, it is a natural tendency. You simply have to upgrade your cinema to the cinema within your heart. We will teach you how to turn on the cinema within your heart. And once you understand what is that cinema, you'll not be attracted to this nonsense Bollywood garbage. Why would I want to waste my time watching some stupid Bollywood movie when I can see Krishna's pastimes happening within my heart at every minute? You know what I mean. And these pastimes of Krishna are so amazing, you can actually enter into them and be a participant in them. Can you do that with a Bollywood movie? Can you jump into the screen and become one of the participants in a cool scene? No, you cannot. But this cinema within your heart, you can actually enter into that cinema and become one of the participants in the amazing pastime that you're witnessing on the liberated stage of Krishna consciousness. So we'll teach you how to, of course it takes some time, it's not an overnight thing, it's a highly advanced pure devotee, but we'll teach you how to come to that stage. So who wants to watch some stupid Bollywood movie or Hollywood movie? You see? We're going to give you Krishna wood instead of Bollywood or Hollywood, Krishna wood. Krishna woods, Vrindavan forest. Krishna woods. That's the Krishna wood, Vrindavan forest. Krishna wood movies. Any other questions?
Why we are so foolish that we would like to enjoy the shadow and not the reality?
Why are we so foolish that we would like to enjoy the shadow instead of the reality? If you had been fasting all day and I brought you a big tray of prasadam and you reached out to take it and I said, no, you have to enjoy the shadow of the prasadam, what would you think? You think that's ridiculous. I'm supposed to bite off the shadow of the gulab jamun? You have to be kidding. How can you, such a preposterous thing you're telling me, I can't eat prasadam, I have to bite the shadow? That's ridiculous. Are you crazy? Are you insane? Wouldn't we say that? If someone said you've been fasting all day and now it's time to break fast and you're told you can only eat the shadow, you can't eat the prasadam. So why are we running after the shadow that Maya Devi is offering us? See how stupid it is? running after shadow of enjoyment. The real enjoyment is loving relationship with Krishna. That is real enjoyment. We're running after the shadow, trying to have loving relationship with Krishna's inferior nature. Isn't it? It's crazy. It's insane.
Why is that? Why we are so...
Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Well, why does a child stick his hand in the fire? The parents said, my dear Anit, don't stick your hand in the fire. It will burn, my dear Anit. But when the parents walk out of the room, little Amit thinks, well, if I'm forbidden to do it, it must be really something super special. Why are they being unfair to me and not allowing me to do this? So when the parents go out of the room, Amit does it. He sticks his hand and it burns. He cries and the parents come and they see what happened. They have a good laugh. And they know he'll never do it again. Wasn't severely burned, you know, just a little burn. Otherwise they wouldn't laugh. But. So, Krishna has his eternal abode, and we thought, why should I serve Krishna? What would it be like if I could be Krishna? If I could be the center of the world? I could be the enjoyer and all, everything would be for my enjoyment. What would it be like? I'd like to try that. So Krishna lets us try it. Get it out of our system. Of course, it's very rare. Hardly anyone makes that mistake. But there are an infinitesimally small fraction of the infinite number of living entities in the spiritual sky make that mistake. And here we are. We made that mistake. We're thinking, why should I serve the Supreme? I want to be the Supreme. I think that might be better. That fire is so beautiful. Maybe if I stick my hand in there, I'll get some enjoyment, the forbidden enjoyment. It's like in the Bible, Adam and Eve, God said, that fruit is forbidden. You can eat every fruit in this garden except for this one fruit. That is the forbidden fruit. So Eve said, well, we got to try that one, because it's the forbidden fruit. You see, so we can, every enjoyment is ours, but one enjoyment we are not allowed, and that is the enjoyment of being the Supreme Person. And we're thinking, well, if it's forbidden, it must be the greatest enjoyment I could have. So we try. We think, all right, I want to be the Supreme. Chris says, okay, go ahead and try. I'll give you a place where you can try it, you see, this material world.
So one very important question is that ultimately we are here in this material world because we want to enjoy our senses. So we are, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, so we have a certain desire that we want to enjoy here in this material world. So we are, the Krishna sent us to this material world. This is because of our desire, we are here. But right now we are praying to the Lord that, oh Lord, we do not want to have any, we do not want to have any desire to have all this sense of gratification of this world. Now we do not want. So why the Krishna is not calling us back to the Godhead immediately? By a moment, suppose that we are in the Vaikuntha or in the Vaikuntha, so whenever we have a certain desire, we want to enjoy something. So on the same moment, the Krishna sent us to this material world for enjoying all the senses. But here we are doing a lot of praying to the Krishna, that, hey Krishna, I do not want to enjoy this material world. So, please save me. So on the same moment, why the Krishna is not picking up, is taking us back to the Godhead?
So
his question is that, in the spiritual world, we desire to enjoy. So Krishna sent us here. So now in the material world, we are desiring and we are praying that we don't want to enjoy this material world. Why not Krishna is taking us back right away?
He is.
On the same moment that Krishna said,
he is taking. He's willing to take us back immediately. But we're thinking, well, maybe I can have some material sense of joy. Krishna can take us back immediately. The pure, the two. But it's our own mixed desire, which is key, making it such a long, drawn-out process.
Not an honest desire.
Huh?
Honest desire.
Not honest desire.
We have a mixed desire. You know, Prabhupada told us in his disciples, he told us in Los Angeles, he said, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. So we're thinking, well, this sounds pretty good, but maybe there's other things besides Krishna consciousness that can give me happiness. You see, that doubt is there. And therefore, it takes a while for us to go back to Godhead. But actually, one who becomes completely pure devotee, he will even while in this present body, he will enter the spiritual world. He will see the spiritual world in front of him. He'll see Krishna. Prabhupada could chant Jai Radha Madhava and be in the spiritual world. You understand? He would go into ecstatic trance and actually be in the spiritual world with Krishna. So when we chant Jai Radha Madhava, are we doing that? Well, not yet. But if we keep making the endeavor to purify our consciousness, that day will come when we can actually see Krishna face to face.
But in Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna, Lord Krishna has done some promise that the one who goes to my Godhead, my Vaikuntha, he will never take
That's right.
again born to this material world. He has promised in Bhagavad Gita. The one who...
Punarjanmana vijite. I mean, he never takes birth again.
He never takes. So, if suppose we are going back to the Godhead, then definitely we will not again back to this material world.
He could, but he won't. He has... The living entity is always free to... He's never a slave in the spiritual world. The spiritual world means full freedom. Anybody who wants to can leave the spiritual world at any time. There's full freedom. It's not like a slave camp with barbed wire, okay? Anybody who wants to leave can do so. But once somebody comes here and sticks their hand in the fire and learns a lesson, little Amit, when the parents say, Amit, you want to stick your hand in the fire again? He says, no way. Amit will never stick his hand in the fire again. So he tried it once, he got burned, he's never going to do it again. So that's why Krishna says they never come back again. They could, but they won't. There's no barbed wire. They're not held as prisoners in the spiritual world. They could come here if they wanted, but no one will ever do it. Once you actually have the experience of getting burned by the material nature, birth, death, old age, and disease, you would never do it again.
One last question. The Vaikuntha is full of bliss, full of knowledge, full of each and everything. Each and everything is in surplus in Golok Dham. So we are there. Why we have wished to come in this material world? Because this material world is full of miseries. A lot of miseries are there in this material world. Why we have a desire to come this material world? Because itself, Vaikuntha is full of each and everything.
We thought we could enjoy, that's why. We thought we could get more enjoyment here than we were getting in the spiritual world.
We can have more enjoyment also in the spiritual world.
We thought we could get more enjoyment here than in the spiritual world. The child is thinking, I'm enjoying, but if I stick my hand in the fire, I will enjoy even more. We are foolishly thinking. It is called misuse of independence. Let's look at it mathematically. For love to exist, there has to be the ability to choose between loving and not loving. Love must be voluntary. If I put a gun at your head and I say, love me or I'll shoot, you can't love me. You will hate me. Love means I give you my love and then I allow you the choice of whether to reciprocate my loving kindness or not. So Krishna is pure love to all the living entities. They have a choice whether to reciprocate or not. Therefore, that freedom is there. Now, there has to be a possibility that free will can be misused, otherwise you don't even have free will, you understand? There has to be a possibility. And If there is a possibility of misusing your free will, there has to be some degree of probability also. If there's no probability, there's no possibility. If there's no possibility, there's no free will. If there's no free will, there's no love. So love means there must be free will. There must be possibility of misusing that free will. And if there's possibility, there has to be some degree of probability. Granted, it must be an infinitesimal degree of probability. So we can look at it mathematically. There is an infant. What is the probability of misusing free will? Infinitesimal. That means 1 over infinity. The smallest possible fraction you could ever have is 1 over infinity. You understand? You understand mathematically? 1 over infinity is the smallest possible fraction you could have. This is also philosophy, brother. So, if you take 1 over infinity and you multiply it against infinity, what is the smallest infinitesimal fraction of the infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world? What is it mathematically? It's infinity. 1 over infinity times infinity equals infinity. That means an infinite number of living entities will misuse their free will, and here we are, folks. Here we are. So it's mathematically proven as a valid principle that the living entity can indeed and doesn't, and they do indeed fall down from the spiritual sky. Otherwise, it's a prison, and it's not a prison. Yeah.
Can a person who is not a Krishna lover, who does not do any chanting, nor does any kirtan, can attain Vaikunth by doing karma?
He says a person who is not in Krishna consciousness, he does not do any chanting or any Krishna consciousness, can he can go back home?
The qualification for going back to Godhead is to become a pure lover of God, completely submitted to the will of the Lord. Any way that you can do that is fine. We don't say you have to chant Hare Krishna to do that. If you have another means, if you can chant Allah's name or Jehovah or Buddha, any way that you can develop pure love of God, that will take you back to the spiritual world. But I haven't seen any other practical system besides this that's effective in the Kali Yuga. But theoretically, yes. Theoretically, yes. One could chant Allah's name or Christ's name and achieve the same result if one comes to the point of pure love of God. But why try to reinvent the wheel when Prabhupada has already given the science of God realization all the way from the entry level, all the way to the postgraduate level. A perfect science. Why reinvent the wheel?
This question is that without doing anything.
Without doing anything.
Just performing our...
Yes, it can happen. It can happen. It did happen, you know, that Urdu-speaking man who was being killed by the wild boar. You know that story? Yes. There was one Muslim fellow, Urdu-speaking fellow, he was wandering in the forest, and he was being a wild boar attacked him and was killing him. You see, so he was rather angry, and he wanted to curse that wild boar while he was being killed. At least he knew it was cursed. Right, you're killing me, well, I curse you. So, what is the Urdu word for condemned? You know, the Muslims, they don't take pork; it's considered condemned food. So, the Urdu word for condemned is haram. So as he was being killed, he was cursing that beast. Haram! And guess what was the last syllable on his lips as he left his body? Ram. So he went back to God. Now, does that mean that you could do the same thing? It could happen. You could live your whole life, you know, raping women, robbing banks, murdering people, you know, doing every sin and being killed by a wild boar and Shan Haram, it could happen. But can you count on it? No. Just like sometimes the big universities, they grant an honorary degree also. Just like you, India, you have your Rabindranath Tagore, you see. He received honorary degree, I think at Oxford or Cambridge, you remember which one? They gave him honorary degree, you see. He never attended the classes, but he got PhD, honorary doctorate, you see. Dr. Tagore, just by the grace of the university. So sometimes, yes, one can get a PhD. So just like you're working towards getting a degree here in this B-tech. Institution?
Technology.
Huh?
Bachelor of Technology.
B-tech
is like B.S.
Bachelor
BS,
of BS, Technology.
MS and B.S., no?
A degree. You're working towards a degree. Why are you, if you want a degree, why are you here working for? Why don't you just sit at home and watch television and wait for your honorary degree to come?
Necessary for that.
Yeah. So even though that sometimes honorary degrees are given, you can't count on them. It's a very rare thing. So sometimes someone can achieve pure love of God by an extraordinary event. It can happen sometimes. But if you want to get it, then the best thing is to, you know, follow the standard system, which is become a devotee of Krishna, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, take shelter of the Vaishnavas, study Prabhupada's books, take the authorized system coming down from Brahmaji, the chief demigod, take that authorized system coming down from Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, coming to us from Srila Prabhupada. Take this authorized system and achieve the perfection. Anything else? We have to get back at 7:30. I get up at 2:30 in the morning, so we have to get back. So we can get to bed at a reasonable hour. Okay, well, we've been really, really, we feel we've really been blessed by Krishna to come here and meet all of you wonderful souls who are trying to awaken your dormant Krishna consciousness. All I can do is thank you from the very bottom of my heart. Thank you very, very much for taking the Krishna consciousness. I have to tell you, my heart is swimming in bliss to see you all here and to know what you're doing here. It's just under the guidance of your expert teachers. It's so wonderful what you're doing. Please continue doing this. Try to increase your chanting. Try to get more and more of the boys here in the school involved in this program. This is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen, what you're doing here. Please continue. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.